Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
They say that the first 5 years of a child's life are the most formative years that they have. These are the critical stages of early childhood training and development that are crucial for their health and their well-being. These are the years that will help to shape who they'll become someday. Now, along with pastoral ministry, my wife Susan was also a preschool teacher for over 27 years. And so she's helped to teach and to train a lot of kids during that time. As a matter of fact, now she sees many of them graduating high school. And she's also heard her share of some unfiltered things that they've said and their behavior as they go through this learning and developing time. She once told me that she was taking a group of kids in her class to the gym for some physical education and for some fun. And so she had them all lined up to get ready to go into the gym. You know, she was teaching them to line up quietly, to listen to instructions, and to treat one another with respect during this time. But she noticed one of the little boys in the line, he just out of nowhere pushed the little girl in front of him. And so Susan said, "Hey, I just saw you push that little girl. Why did you do that?" And he looked back at her and he said, "Well, I didn't think you'd be looking at me." I think the true test of the things we've learned since childhood is how we behave when nobody else is looking. We do the right thing not because someone is watching, but because it's the right thing. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So as kids, we learn over time why learning is so important. We're not always a fan of it at that age, but we do look back and understand its benefits. And so training becomes a crucial part of our development, even into our adult years, when we gain more and more work experience in their different career paths and the jobs that we take. We have training days, training camps, training coaches to help us understand better, to help us grow. A couple weeks ago, our pastoral team were off-site for our annual planning meetings just to pray and to dream together about where God is taking us next. And so we had an opportunity as a team to go to lunch together. And so we got seated at our table, and the waitress came over to take our orders. And she introduced us to her new trainee, who was standing right next to her with a big smile on her face and a notepad in her hand. And so her appearance from the outside looking in, she was like, definitely in training and learning mode. She was ready to take notes, and as the waitress was saying certain things to us, she was just writing them down very quickly. You know, throughout our careers and jobs, we're always in this process of training, of learning and developing. I heard a story once of a large group of new recruits at a very large company were attending on their first day kind of an orientation. And so they had the onboarding specialist come in who was breaking down what it was like to work in this particular company. She made this statement. She said, "You don't have to be crazy to work here. We'll train you." That sounds familiar. I don't know what it is. You know, Timothy, he was trained by Paul. And that mentor-mentee relationship that they shared continued through to Paul's final days. Still training, still teaching, still coaching Timothy along. And Timothy, like our young waitress that was helping us that day, was the one who was now in the learning mode with his notepad, you know, furiously taking notes as Paul tried to instruct him in the things that he needed to learn. You know, one of my earliest summer jobs out of high school was installing above-the-ground swimming pools. And with a friend of mine, he had worked there for a couple of years, and he said, "Hey, you should come and join us." And so when I first heard it, it sounded like a dream job to me, right? Waiting in the, the pool and the clear water as it filled up, you know, just getting a great tan and floating my way to another paycheck. That sounded like a good deal. Not so much. It was more like working on a prison chain gang. It was brutal, digging holes, breaking rocks, filling and rolling in and out countless wheelbarrows full of topsoil and crusher dust. It was, again, it was a brutal thing for a group of kind of untrained newbies when it came to manual labor. As a matter of fact, some of our friends would come by when they knew where we were, just before we were ready to head out for the day or loading up the truck, and they'd pull in with their towels and their suntan lotion and their sunglasses with the music turned up on their way to the beach just to say hello and goodbye. You know, good times, right? Good friends. But I tell you what, we were probably in the best shape of our lives after those two summers being on the pool crew, that's for sure. But we learned how to survey the space, to prepare the site, to install the hardware, to put in the liner, to make sure that it was all the way it needed to be, and then to fill it up so it looked amazing for the client who was paying for it all. And the guy in the pool on the day when the fill-up happened in the hot sunshine was not any of us that were doing the grunt work. It was usually the veteran, my friend, who had worked there for a couple of years before. But we also learned how to pray for rain every day we would go out so that occasionally the foreman would just call it and send us all home. We were always learning. Now, as we continue our book study series of the Apostle Paul's letter to his young protege in 1 Timothy, he speaks from his experience to help train Timothy to live like a leader. And so today as we step into chapter 2, we start by kind of looking at the first 10 verses. And we see Paul emphasizing the need to once again combat bad theology with good theology. He tells him to expect turmoil, expect opposition, expect deception. And these are the kind of difficult expectations that Paul was trying to communicate to Timothy and to his church. And this is what he wanted him to prepare for. He doesn't write in verse 1 that some might depart from the faith in the last days, but that they will, that some will be deceived. So he's not sugarcoating anything. He wants them to know what the road ahead looks like, and he wants them to be well prepared so that in turn, Timothy can help prepare the people as they lead in the culture that they were living in. So the big idea in the first 10 verses of chapter 4 is that a healthy church counters false teaching with God's truth that is centered on his goodness and his love for all people. Then in verses 11 through to 16, he kind of switches gears a little bit with the spiritual focus on godly leaders, on how they actually live. So the big idea here is that if Christian leaders like Timothy, like you, and like me, if we give proper attention to our own lives and what we're teaching, then the church, in turn, will be a healthy place. But today I want to zero in on verses 6 through 10 as Paul gets into the specifics about the development of leaders. So let's read that together. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 10 says, "If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed." Then he says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales." So Paul's talking to Timothy about the false things that other people are teaching within the church that can sometimes easily pull us away from the truth and confuse us. These are those kind of fringe benefits, or not benefits, these are those fringe teachings and beliefs that are always in the church, that people always have. People have different opinions that some people like to take and try to force into the mold and make them central to the beliefs of our faith, which they are not. Then he says this, he makes this statement, a very important one. He says, "Rather, train yourself to be godly." So if you're the underlining or highlighting type, That's the first very important statement to remember here. And it's really the central theme of this message. Then he goes on in verse 8 to say, for physical training is of some value. Now, all my CrossFit friends out there are going to say, what? Some value? Come on, man. It's more than some value. Now, listen, I understand, as does Paul, the importance of physical training as it relates to our health. But Paul is using this familiar metaphor to drive home a more significant point about our development as disciples of Christ. But then he says, but godliness has value for all things. I love that word, very all-encompassing. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially to those who believe. Now, obviously, this passage is directed to Timothy as a minister, but it's also applicable to all of us today as developing leaders. These are our training days. Our standing with God, we know, is completely dependent on what Jesus has done. But our godliness is mostly dependent upon our training. Very important to know. Godliness is this process of transformation. It's the he must increase and I must decrease attitude in every part of our lives. And transformation only happens through training, not trying. Listen, if all as it took to win a Stanley Cup was to try harder, well, then the Canucks would be in the finals right now. And all our frustrated people said, amen, right? I heard someone say recently after we lost our last chance to kind of advance, next year will be our year. They'll just have to try harder next season. Well, it's going to take a lot more than just trying harder to get the job done. Have you ever tried to change something in your life? You've tried to do it. You tried to be a better person, tried to get in shape, tried to get out of debt. You've tried to be happy and content in your own strength. Or how about just trying to live as a Christ follower? Trying to study God's word on a daily basis. Trying to pray every day. If trying is all that was required, we would have all arrived where we want to be by now. You see, transformation happens through training, not trying. John Ortberg is a well-known evangelist. He's an author and a speaker, but he explored this idea in a study that he did on training versus trying that I found very fascinating. But it's not like these two concepts are opposite, are they, right? It's not that it's always got to be one or the other, but he did this study to help us understand as he kind of contrasts the two so that we can see what it looks like to train ourselves to be godly versus spending a lifetime trying in our own strength to be godly, because that is an exercise in futility. John Ortberg said this. He said, to follow Jesus means learning to arrange my life around those practices that will enable me to stay connected to him and live more and more like him. In short, he says, this is just another way of defining a spiritual discipline. Spiritual discipline is any activity that can help me gain power to live life as Jesus taught and modeled it. So training yourself to be godly helps us to gain power in our lives to live as Christ modeled it. See, effective training, whether it's physical or spiritual, has a lot to do with repetition, which honestly can start to feel a little like Groundhog Day, like you're just doing it over and over and over again. Familiar routines, working the same muscles and disciplines in the same way day after day after day. When routines or principles are learned by repetition, something significant happens. They're remembered better. They're retained for a longer period of time. As a matter of fact, studies have shown that the brain actually forms new pathways when a task is repeated over and over and over again. And this is when we optimize the performance of whatever skill it is that we're using. But in order to benefit from training and experience the results of training, we need to trust the process. Because many people just get sick of it. They get tired of doing the same thing over and over again, and so they quit. But we need to trust the process. 1 Timothy 4, in verse 16, Paul says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And then he says, continue in them. What's Paul saying? He's saying, repeat it. Repeat them. Know the truth. Speak the truth. Walk in the truth. And then what's the result? Paul says this, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So training yourself in godliness involves the repetition of his example in our lives as our mind forms new pathways that are aligned with his purpose, not our own agenda, not our own purpose. Philippians 2:5, Paul said it this way. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need the mind of Christ. So, what is Paul asking Timothy to repeat as a leader in order to effectively train himself in godliness? Well, the first thing that he's asking him to repeat is to repeat his character. Let me say this right at the beginning, and this is applicable to some of you that are in Timothy's category, but also those of you that are not. Never allow your age to dictate your effectiveness and your influence as a leader. From the youngest to the oldest, allow the greater one who's inside of you. Allow his character to shine in the darkness, leading other people to the knowledge of who he is and what he's called them to be. In verse 12 of chapter 4, Paul says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Well, why did he say that? Well, because Timothy was young. But he could have just as easily says, don't let anybody look down on you because you're advanced in age. Regardless of what age you are, we need to understand that he's not done with you yet. Some of you feel like, well, it's, you know, I'm in that different phase of my life right now. Let the young guys run it out. No, God still wants to use you because the good gift that God has within you, you can mentor and train and help to influence and strengthen the next generation. But he says, but set an example to the believers. In other words, he's saying lead them. Lead them in speech and conduct. Lead them in love, in faith, and in purity. So repeat his character as you live like a leader. Now, the second thing that Paul is asking Timothy to repeat is to repeat his truth. Paul's encouragement to Timothy describes the leader's responsibility, our responsibility, to study, to share, and to apply the scriptures. In verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Repeat the truth. Repeat the truth and devote yourself to it. You know, when my boys were young, I repeated myself like a lot. A lot. Don't play in the street. Look both ways before you cross the road. Don't stare at the monkey. Believe me, they hate it when you do that. But I used repetition for training purposes. And I'm happy to say that over time, it worked. As grown men, neither one of them play in the street. They know how to cross the road safely. And they can both handle themselves very nicely around monkeys. But I also used repetition for another purpose. I used it to communicate truth. From the time that they were born, I've taken every chance I'm given to say, I love you, and I still do. But saying I love you wasn't the only truth that I repeated to them. I also told them that God loved them, and he believed in them, and he had a great purpose for their lives. And you know, both those truths, the fact that I love them and God loves them, will be imprinted on their hearts so that they can draw upon it no matter what they face in the years to come. Training and truth. Two beautiful reasons for repetition. You know what? God used repetition throughout Scripture for training purposes. How many times did God say, fear not, fear not. Don't fear, I'm with you. Fear not. But he also used it for truth purposes. I love you. I'm here for you. I believe in you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Over and over, God communicates that throughout Scripture. And his son, Jesus, used repetition in his most famous Sermon on the Mount. He repeated the word blessed 9 times in 9 sentences. You know, whether in this life or the next, the truth Jesus proclaimed over and over again was to assure us that God will bless us when we honor and obey him. So repeat his truth as you live like a leader. And then finally, repeat his gifts. Use what he's put in your hands to minister to other people. Repeat his gifts. Repeat the use of those gifts in your life. In verses 14 to 15 of chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." In other words, when they set you apart for a purpose. Paul was involved in that process. He recognized the call in Timothy's life and helped to set him apart to do what God had called him to do. He says, be diligent. Be diligent in training. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Much like our little preschool friend in line who said, "I didn't know you could see me. I didn't know you were watching me." Well, people will see you and they will watch you and they will see your progress when you repeat the use of his gifts in how you love and serve other people. The Message translation says it like this, which I thought was interesting, and it says, "And that special gift of ministry you were given, keep that dusted off and in use. Repeat its use. Cultivate or develop these things and immerse yourselves in them." So we need to repeat his gifts as you live like a leader. Now, training is really doing what I can do today to enable me to do even more tomorrow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, he says, "So I run with purpose in every step, in every part of my life. I'm not just shadow boxing, so this is not a simulation." He says, "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should." You see, training is to arrange your life around certain exercises or experiences that will allow you to do something that was once that was once not possible for you to do. Sometimes you look in your mirror and you go, "You know what? I think I responded better than I've ever responded in that situation because of him increasing in my life and me decreasing." And that's a great thing to recognize from time to time. You see, training counts every moment as another opportunity to grow. Training will allow you to more consistently do the right thing at the right time, in the right way, and in the right spirit. Nothing, absolutely nothing, it proves your ability to lead others as what you do on a day-to-day basis to lead yourself. And sometimes that can be our greatest challenge as a leader, is to lead ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that your call on our lives is to train ourselves to be godly, to be more like you and less like us. I ask today that you would help us to do just that, to repeat your character in our lives, to repeat your truth in the words that we speak, and to repeat your gifts, the use of the things you've given us to reach out and minister to others. I pray today that you would help each one as we walk through this series to help us understand these things so that we can effectively live like a leader. But in order to be trained, there has to be a day one. Every training process starts with that day, the day that we begin a new way of living. And so today I pray for all of you that are watching the broadcast, all of you that are here in the house, wherever you are in the world today. Today could be your day one. To say, "I recognize in my life that I've made some mistakes, that I've blown it, that I need Jesus. I need to know him like you're talking about." If that's you today, I want to pray with you so that today can be your day one, that your training days begin right now when you pray this simple prayer from the depths of your heart. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize that you died on a cross for me to forgive me of my sins, and I'm thankful for that. Come into my heart, be my Lord and be my Savior, and help me to live as a disciplined one, as a disciple of yours. And I pray that I would speak the words of hope to a hopeless generation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God's best to you all. We'll see you again next week.